lady named Susie. She calls her friend that's not feeling well. And she says, "How are you doing?" And she says, "Terrible. I'm all worn out." She says, "My head's hurting and my back and my legs are aching. This is, the house is a mess. These kids are driving me crazy." Susie, all full of compassion, she says to her friend, "Listen, you go lie down." She says, "I'll come over right away and I'll cook lunch for you and I'll clean up the house and I'll watch the kids while you get some rest." And she says, "By the way, how's Sam?" She hears, "Who's Sam?" She says, "Oh my goodness, I've called the wrong number." And then after a moment of silence, she hears on the line, "Are you still coming over?" Yeah. You know what? All of us grow weary from time to time in the day-to-day living, just working, taking care of our responsibilities, you know, working at your job, taking care of the kids, even our work for the Lord. You know, we in all of that, we can just grow tired of the effort and the giving and the serving and the doing. And even in our spiritual battles, sometimes we get weary, just fighting the good fight of faith. And in fact, I just, you know, if you're a believer, well, whatever we do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. So, you know, in all that you do, you're doing it as unto the Lord. And I just want you to realize that we can get weary in all that we're doing. And the Bible tells us this in Galatians 6, 9, and 10. I'm going to read it from the NIV. It says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." I want you to see here, this is real important, that he says we should never become weary in doing good. We just keep going. We just keep doing it. Why? Because there is a harvest that is coming if we won't give up. These scriptures, I don't believe that they're speaking of really of being physically tired. I think it's speaking of us being tired in our soul, just being tired, you know? I mean, I know for myself, I can be physically tired, but I'm still on top of the world. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I kind of like physical labor that way because, you know, it can actually kind of relax the body even though it wears you out. You can sleep good. But when your soul is tired, you don't sleep good. You're just weary. You're just tired of the fight, tired of the effort and the battle. And I want to tell you, it can happen to any of us. All of us have the opportunities to get weary. You know, we work, we serve, we pray, we love, we reach out, and sometimes you just don't see visible results. We live in this result, you know, success-oriented society. It's all, show me the money. You know, we want to see it now. Our success is solely based on what is seen. That's it. But you see, in the kingdom, it's not that way. You know, in the kingdom, a lot of the time, it's our sowing. The harvest is coming down the road. You know, I kind of alluded to this a little bit already, but one of the things I like about physical labor, you know, whether it's working out in the yard or cutting firewood or painting a room, is that, you know, you work for a few hours and then you can see that you accomplished something. I mean, I like when I mow the yard and do the yard, I like to go out and stand in the street when I'm done and just look at it for just a minute. It makes me feel good. Looky there, I accomplished something. I like it when I paint a room and, you know, in an hour or two, I can go back and go, well, I got something done. I split some wood and stack it and I say, that looks good. But here's the thing, you see, a lot of times in ministry, it's not that way. It takes a long time before you see results. And sometimes, you know, as a parent, it takes a long time before you see the results that you've been hoping for. And there's a lot of areas of life. You see, whatever we do for the Lord, we're reaching out to other people, talking to people about the Lord, you're praying for people, right? I mean, you're praying for people, you're praying, not seeing anything yet, and you can get weary. See, sometimes those areas of our life that are the most important, we don't see results immediately. And sometimes it's not even in a week or a month. Sometimes it takes a long time before we see the results that we hope for, that harvest that we had hoped for. And as a parent, as a husband or wife, as a servant of the Lord, we just have to wait on the Lord and be patient. Let me read it again, Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, because at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. As you, this he's talking about a harvest here. This is the way a harvest works. You work and then you wait. You know, with little kids, you can show them how you can plant a flower seed in a styrofoam cup, and we'll water it. And, you know, the next day they want to know why there's nothing coming up yet. But we're kind of like that sometimes, you see, about spiritual things where, you know, we start trying to do what we think we need to do and we're doing good. But in a few days, we're like, well, nothing's happening yet. Why isn't something happening? And we just need to realize that this is the way harvest works, that when you sow, it's going to be a while sometimes, but you just have to keep going and not give up, because if you give up, no harvest. He says, you will reap if you don't give up. There's always that opportunity to give up. So how do we overcome weariness? In the previous verses, the scripture tells us we're going to reap whatever we sow. And it seems like so often we sow just a little seed and we want it to come up immediately. And I just want you to understand that in spiritual things, sometimes it takes a long time, and God doesn't operate on our timetable. I mean, y'all know that, right? Some of you do, and you need to say amen for some that are just trying to figure that out. But, you know, most of us think that the Lord is behind, but he's always right on time. He has a plan, and we just need to trust him. But the harvest takes time. In most things in our secular world, we can measure our success in tangible ways, but sometimes when we, in serving the Lord and what we do as a child of God, you don't necessarily see the change because it begins on the inside. And so we just have to keep sowing to the Spirit, keep praying, keep loving, keep serving and doing good, because God will bring that harvest. You know, I think a lot of times people will try to serve the Lord and try to do good, try to, you know, obey God in some particular area where they feel like they're supposed to, and they'll try it for a while. And then they think it's not, you know, some people just decide, you know, this don't work for me. It's one of the reasons people drop out of church. They go to church for a little while and they're just like, well, this ain't working for me. Might work for some people, it's not working for me. Sometimes they think that it doesn't matter that they obey God. It doesn't matter that they're doing good. It's just not making a difference. And they get weary in their soul, and they give up. They stop doing the good that they knew to do. See, we got to keep doing it. And you know, in ministry, there's always a lot of different opinions. And here's one of the things that can really wear you down, as not just in serving in ministry, but also, you know, as a parent, as a child of God, whatever you're doing, is when people criticize. It just can weigh on you. Now, I want to say this. There's been a few times over the years that criticism helped me to correct some things in my life, helped me to realize some things where I needed to make some change. But I want to tell you that most of the time, that criticism will just wear you down and make you want to sit back and not do anything when you get criticized enough. And especially in the things of God, it just seems like it always works this way. You know, Satan is called the accuser of the brethren in the book of Revelation. And he doesn't have any trouble finding somebody that's willing to do his accusing and to criticize. And you know, when you're being criticized, you know, what you're doing is wrong, what you're doing is wrong. It just makes you want to quit. It makes you tired and weary. You know, well, that's not the way they did it at my last church. Why aren't you at your last church? That's what I always want to say. I worked at a number of churches over the years, you know, and one of the things that helped me and, you know, to have a little bit of perspective, besides the fact, you know, 40 years plus, but is that I got to see that, you know what, there's a lot of different ways of doing things. And for some, this way works, and for some, this way works. And you know what, I have the same thing to say about in our personal lives. We don't all have to do everything the same way as everybody else. And it's the enemy that tries to criticize, but listen, to discourage you from what you're doing. Listen, when you're doing right and you're doing what God wants you to do, you keep doing that good. And you don't let criticism stop you. Don't let it wear you down. You know, most of the time the people that are doing the criticizing, they're not really doing much themselves. I like this little story about D.L. Moody. He was talking to a lady about evangelizing, and she was criticizing the way that he did it. And he said, well, ma'am, how do you do it? She said, well, I don't do it. He said, well, I like the way I do it better than the way you don't do it. And, you know, it's kind of like that a lot of times that, you know, people that criticize, usually they're not really doing much themselves. They're just criticizing. But here's the thing. We got to keep sowing. Keep going, keep doing what God has given us to do, because we will reap a harvest. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 11 through 3, in the NIV it says this. He says, we hear that some among you are idle. They're not busy, they're busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. The King James says, don't grow weary of doing what is right. See, there's always going to be backseat drivers. There's always going to be, you know, couch coaches, right? And there's always going to be people that will criticize you. You just got to not allow it to cause you to get weary and to quit doing what you're supposed to be doing. You know, when you read the Bible, you see over and over and over that the heroes of faith, how they faced opposition. Nehemiah had a great calling to go to the city of Jerusalem and to rebuild the walls. And this was a great thing, because in that day and time, a city without walls, they were constantly open to thieves and marauders, and they couldn't really have a good life without walls around that city for protection. And so Nehemiah, he wants to go and rebuild the walls. And when he gets there and they're trying to rebuild the walls, he faces opposition from his own people. And isn't that the way a lot of the time in the body of Christ is we face opposition from our own brothers and sisters? But Nehemiah came up with this solution. He said, okay, well, some of you are going to work and some of you are going to stand by with the sword. And here's the point I want to make about that. Now listen, we all ought to work, not just half of us. We all ought to work. We all ought to be busy serving the Lord. But I think we all ought to defend each other too. Right. Don't be criticizing on somebody that's doing something for Jesus.
Well, I think they ought to do it this way.
Well, you go do it that way. Okay, I'm moving on. Let me just throw this out here, all right? Jesus said, you're the light of the world. You know what happens when you put a light in a dark place? Bugs come. So you're going to get some criticism if you're standing up for Jesus. That's true. You know, another way we can get discouraged is by seeing the laziness of other people. I mean, you know, if it's at your workplace and you feel like other people aren't carrying their load and you're having to do part of their work, it just kind of makes you weary. And even in the home, it's amazing how often one spouse or the other feels like that, you know, I have to do it all. I have to be the responsible one. I have to take care of everything while they're watching TV or however that plays out. And even in the body of Christ, you see, there's a whole lot of that because they say that in most churches that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And that other 80%, they do about 20%. Now, I don't know how all that works, but I will tell you this, that sometimes I do know that those few who have so many responsibilities, they're burning the candle at both ends, doing all they can do. Sometimes they get weary. And the sad thing is sometimes they burn out. And it shouldn't be that way. But I just want you to understand, we can't afford to get weary in doing good because we're going to lose our harvest, that reward that's coming. So how do we overcome weariness? All right, we talked about all the ick. We talked about how we get weary. How do you overcome it? First, you got to start with a real commitment to the Lord. You know, in talking about being a disciple, Jesus said in Luke 14, 28 through 30, he says, which of you intended to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Here's the point. You got to have a commitment to see it through. Whatever you do for God, that you're going to work till he comes. You're just going to keep going. See, as long as, if quitting is an option to you, it's easy to get tired. If you have made up your mind, I've counted the cost, I'm going all the way with Jesus. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, what I'm called to do, until. Too much of the time, people give up before their harvest comes in. So you got to have a commitment that you're going to see it through. Second, we have to trust God. We get to trust God. We take him at his word. It's a simple matter of faith. He says that we will reap a harvest if we won't give up. We either believe him or not. If we believe the word of God, why would we give up? There is a harvest coming, no matter what it looks like, no matter how long it might take, there is a harvest that's coming. Here's a great promise. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Oh, that's a good promise. You train them up, and you just keep sowing that seed and sowing that seed and sowing that seed. You just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you trust God with the harvest that it's coming. See, parenting is one of the greatest challenges of life, but you keep doing good. You keep doing what you're supposed to do, and I'm telling you, God is well able to give you a harvest. How often parents give up on the promises? Just keep loving, keep training, keep praying, keep believing. Here's another one. Well, you just have to bear with me, some of you. I know this is a forbidden topic, but here goes. Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. I just have to point out to you, when he says, when the scripture here uses the word try, it's not really a good English translation. And, you know, another translation says, test me now in this. Well, we all know you're not supposed to test the Lord. I mean, there's just not a good English word, but it has more to do with proving this. When we tithe, we're not just throwing in an offering. We're going to see what happens. I'm just going to throw this in and see if something happens. Probably nothing. Because that's not at all the right heart or the right attitude. In fact, if you read the whole passage, God said it belongs to Him. It is something that you do from the heart, that you put God first and you trust God. And when you do that, I will tell you, God will keep His word to you. You know, sometimes you may not see, you know, I'll tell you, some of the goofy preaching and teaching of our day just has got so many people messed up. Everybody that gives tonight, you're going to get a 100-fold return. There's only one person getting a 100-fold return. I've seen too many things, y'all. But here's the thing. You see, when we do what God tells us to do, there's a harvest that's coming. It brings a blessing on your family. It brings financial blessing too, but it's so much more than just that. You can have all the money in the world and be miserable. But it brings so much more than that when we do what God wants us to do. But here's the point I would really want to make to you is we can't get discouraged. We can't get weary in doing good. We got to keep doing what we're supposed to be doing because God is trustworthy. You can count on the character of the Holy One. His character is absolutely flawless. We take Him at His word and we trust Him. Trusting God is a sure thing. Now, this next one is real similar, but I'm just going to make the point, though. Third, we need to look to Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." He talks about not growing weary here. What are we supposed to do? You consider Jesus. You get your eyes on Jesus. Listen, don't get your eyes on other people. It'll always discourage you and mess you up one way or another. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the finisher or the perfecter of your faith. See, that's where our faith rests, is in Jesus. And when we keep our eyes on Jesus, it helps us to keep our faith strong. You know, Jesus endured, it says, such opposition from sinful men. See, you're going to go through some hard times. When you're doing what you're supposed to be doing as a child of God, you're serving the Lord. Yeah, you're going to go through some hard times. You may even go through some opposition. Look at Jesus. He endured for the joy set before Him. Jesus said that if a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, then it'll bring forth a great harvest. When He said that, He was talking about His own life and how that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. a great harvest was going to come. And you see, when we have our eyes on Jesus, we need to realize that that harvest is coming. That yes, we go through hard times and difficulties, but that harvest is coming. And here's the thing. If you know the harvest is coming, there's a joy. Oh, there's always joy when you know the harvest is coming. You see, the reason that people get weary is because they doubt the harvest. You got to know that harvest is coming. You trust God. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, the most important kind of harvest ever is changed lives. And Jesus says that the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Matthew 9, 37 and 38, he said to the disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his field." Let's be praying this week that laborers will go to the field and invite people to church. Amen? But I want you to see this. He says to pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest. Who is the Lord of your harvest? Is he the Lord of your harvest? If he is, that's a sure thing. As long as you do what you're supposed to do. You keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Don't get weary in doing good. As we look to him, I tell you, we should never get weary. Because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He has a limitless supply of strength. Paul said, "When I am weak, then I'm strong." You see, it is because we know we can't do it all on our own. Yes, in your own strength, you get too tired, too weary. But you're not doing it in your own strength. You're looking to Christ. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So you keep your eyes on Jesus, the one who gives you strength, and you will realize those rewards, that harvest will come in. Fourth, to overcome weariness, spend time with the Lord. I know these are all connected. That's right. It's all about him. Isaiah 40, 29 through 31, he gives power to the weak. Wow, could that be any simpler? He gives power to the weak. To those that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The key is spending time with the one who gives you strength. See, we can say, "Oh, I'm trusting the Lord for strength." Well, you need to spend some time with him. Because I want to tell you, when you're just out in this world trying to do it on your own, you're going to get worn out. But when you spend time with the Lord, the one who has all strength, did you know it gives you a different perspective? It helps you see things the way they really are. See, we don't just look at things in the natural. No, we got to look past that to the things that are unseen, that our God is moving and working and there's a harvest that's coming. Keep doing good. Sometimes really good people, I mean, some of the best people, they just try to take too much on themselves. I'm not talking about they need to do less. Because remember, we're not supposed to get weary in doing good. We don't want to do less, have less harvest. Keep doing good, but give the heavy burden to Jesus. If you take the weight of the world on yourself, you're always going to burn out. You got to give that to Jesus. You got to cast the care over on the Lord. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." And maybe you're tired tonight, weary tonight. Well, he calls to you, "Come to me, you who are weary and burdened." And get this, he says, "And I will give you rest." You need rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He offers us rest. You see, when we go to the Lord in prayer and we spend time with the Lord, we can turn those burdens over to the Lord, and he gives us rest. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but you see, the world's attitude, and a lot of Christians have the same attitude, "What I need is vacation. What I need is time away, time off. I just need to get out of the house and get away from these kids." Here's the thing. None of that will rest you the way you need to be rested. Getting away on vacation, let me tell you how it can rest you. So you got more time to spend with the Lord. Oh, I'm preaching really good now, but I'm not getting much amens. But I'm just telling you, you can do all the activities of the world that's supposed to rest you. You can go fishing, do whatever you want to do. And it may rest your body a little bit, and it might rest your mind a little bit, but there's only one thing that can really take the weight of the world off of you, and that is being in the presence of the Lord, spending time with him. You got to rest right. And I'm just telling you, this is how you really rest. I'm not saying you can't go fishing. You can go out there and fish and talk to the Lord the whole entire time and get rested. But I'm talking about something that happens on the inside, not just the physical body, more than just a minute away. It's amazing how many of the things that people do today for leisure, they just leave them tired instead of rejuvenated. And I'm not judging, but I'm just saying you need to rest right. You know, most people fill up their days with work and family and all kinds of even optional activities, and they don't really make the Lord a part, and then they wonder why they got so weary and stopped doing good. Every day we need to be in the presence of the Lord. Acts 3:19 says, "Times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." You can't really rest right without the Lord, because he's the one, he says, "I will give you rest." He's the one that gives us strength. You can't get strength from anything else, not this kind of strength. So I want to close with one more passage. It's Psalms 37, 3 through 7. There's a word from the Lord for some of you. Trust in the Lord. Trust him. Turn it over to him. Put your weight on him. Give it to him. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. And he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. I would like to encourage everybody here, and I know some of you do this every day, but I want to encourage everybody here to do this, to just get alone with the Lord and just wait, just rest. I mean, if there are things on your heart that you want to talk to the Lord about, you want to pray about and turn over to Him in prayer and ask God to help you with, then do that. But even if you do that, wait. Just wait and rest in the presence of the Lord. You don't have to talk all the time. Just get quiet and still and wait and rest in the presence of the Lord. And let Him lift the burden off of you. Let Him give you that rest. I'm telling you, so many promises in the Scripture that make it clear that this is for us. You know, even in the 23rd Psalm, David says, He restores my soul. See, God is able to do that. Lead you by the still waters. Make you lie down in the green pasture. Restore your soul. But you got to be willing, see, to turn off the TV, maybe even turn off that phone and get alone with God and just be quiet. Just rest. You might fall asleep. That's okay. Just rest in the presence of the Lord. What a wonderful thing. And see if it doesn't rejuvenate you and strengthen you so that you don't become weary in well-doing, but you keep going until your harvest comes in. Let's not have any more uprooted harvest. Let's see what God will do when we just keep going, doing what we're supposed to do. But stand with me. We're going to pray, and I'm going to let you be dismissed.